Meow. You just have to imagine the meows. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Gotham Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a toasty and tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Jim and Nick?
Oh, yeah.
I can feel it.
Thank you, Bane. I can definitely feel it.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except Commissioner Gordon. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
All right.
What happened? Where am I? Who is this? What's going on? Hi. Oh,
it's Jim Jesus.
Yeah, what happened? I don't know what happened to me. Anyways, it's almost like something happened to me, like I drank goat's blood and passed out and was in some kind of weird pagan cult or something. I don't know what's going on.
I was just enjoying a warm cup of goat's blood myself. It's delicious.
Yeah. Wasn't there someone else who did, too?
Nick, was that you?
No, I don't like goats. They're smelly.
You're strictly a yak blood man, right?
That's right.
Okay. Nice.
A frothy yak blood smoothie.
Yeah, you gotta have it while it's still warm.
Fresh out of the vein, or do you put it in a blender, or how do you fix that?
Well, I usually throw a couple of strawberries in there. Blend it.
So why are we talking about goat's blood anyway?
Well, there was a certain, quote-unquote, libertarian candidate that is making some news based on his goat blood drinking. Although once I looked into this thing, the goat blood drinking was the least disturbing thing about this candidate I could find. So, did you guys check this guy out? He goes by the name Invictus. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Augustus Sol Invictus.
Yeah.
The unconquerable sun god.
Hey, I give him credit. I give him credit for boldness, right? You know, so much for this false humility, right? Like, just go for it. Just go for it. Get out there. What an interesting character. You know, creepy, but what were some of his positions? Did you guys check out any of his positions?
Well, apparently, according to the former chair who stepped down after he found out about this guy, said that he's a self-proclaimed fascist and promoting the Second Civil War in America. And okay. He says he has no place in the Libertarian Party. He represents the opposite of libertarians. Now, well, I agree with the latter. The former, I've interacted with some of the Libertarian Party members. That's not too far off from some of the things that I've run into with them. But libertarians, I agree with them there. That's definitely very unlibertarian. Especially recruiting neo-Nazi things. That's just
That's just collectivist BS. Nobody needs that. Now, I think it should be fair to point out that Florida has an open primary situation. So anybody can be a libertarian candidate down there. It's no real reflection. That in itself is saying he's running for the nomination of the Libertarian Party down there is really no reflection in itself on the libertarians there. Like here in Pennsylvania, I could say I'm running for the Democratic Party nomination of something. And they could be all outraged, like, he's a freedom fiend and he's running with the Democratic primary. Like, whoa, they freak out too.
He does radio shows with Bane.
Yeah, and he talks about free markets and yaks and But
I heard once that he told Neil deGrasse Tyson to talk about space and shut up.
So this guy's the thing that was questionable for the Libertarian Party, at least their board from now. somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, he is a Libertarian Party of Florida member, and they had a vote to rescind his membership, and it failed. So they said, nah, he's all right. He's okay. Yeah. Sure, he's a little bit fascist and that eugenics program. Well, but hey, you know, we want to have a big tent, right?
Just let the brown shirts in. They're not so bad.
Well, you know, and yeah, one of the big criticisms, and I listened to a video, I heard it out of his own mouth, so I really, you know, wanted to just hear specifically from him instead of just hearing what, like, critics say. But he is in favor of state eugenics, you know. Now, does he really believe this? Maybe. Maybe he's just pandering to progressives. I don't know. I don't know. You never know with a politician, right? You don't know whether they're telling whether they believe the crap they spew, or if they're just if they really believe it, or I mean, or really just make it up to get votes. I don't know.
Yeah, we were going through some of his let's say YouTube videos, if you want to call them that. They were very interesting, to say the least. One of them had the description. The only thing that was in the description was LSD recording, and.
Which, and I'm not against, you know, in principle.
No. But I don't even know what he was saying. It was just gibberish. It sounded like, yeah, it had that kind of, you know, preacher kind of, like, you know, kind of rapping preacher type thing going on. But it was it was just word salad. This guy's running for Senate.
Again, maybe he's just trying to pander to progressives. I don't know. Hey, you want a big tent, right? You got it. That's a big tent. Well, what's this about him wanting to start a war?
According to this article that you linked me, it said that he wanted to start... Oh, he's promoting a second civil war, whatever that means.
I did hear one of his videos said something like he feels he was born to bring a great war, or if it wasn't a great war, he would start it himself, or was that something like that?
You merely adopted the Civil War. I was born in it, molded by it.
But now keep in mind, okay, like, we're sitting back going, that's crazy talk. Starting a war? Whoa, that guy's nuts, right? Keep in mind that you've got other, like, quote-unquote mainstream candidates that are saying, you know, like who was it, Ted Cruz was like, I'm going to nuke the Ayatollah, and people want to go to war with Russia, and, you know, and you know what, Bob Barr actually started the Iraq War. He was one of the congressmen that helped start a real war, so this guy's mayhem is proposed. Other candidates, it's actually confirmed and part of the historical record. So maybe he fits right in. I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, he's an interesting candidate, and I don't know enough about all the rest of the Libertarian candidates to say if he's any better. But I found some weird quote from him. And he just listed all this stuff that he wants people to do. And I love this. All of this is just great. But my favorite thing was, I want you to listen to trap music and black metal. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? Trap music. I hate trap music. I don't hate it. What is it? Trap music is like really, really souped up, auto-tuned hip-hop with just weird beats.
Is that part of his religion?
I don't know. Suppose
a lot of what he says he has to do is because of his religion, like the drinking, like sacrificing goats and drinking the blood and eugenics.
Dancers in the back rooms with his girlfriend. Yeah. See, this guy's weird.
Wow. And is he a lawyer?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He has his own firm. I can't remember what the firm was. But yeah, he has his own firm.
Better call Invictus. Oh no, I got in trouble for lynching people. Better call Invictus.
Oh man. So he's like, he's just gonna run for president, and then when he gets elected, he's gonna have like Kanye West sing. I don't know any black metal. That was never my thing. I like melodic death metal, but that's trap into black metal. That's I can't stand behind a candidate like that. If the goat blood, I can deal with that. You know, as long as he takes my calls, I'll be fine.
But anyway, so what does this really mean for the Libertarian Party? Like, you know, I mean, let's face it, the Libertarian Party has been kind of struggling, right, ever since they invented the internet. I don't mean to really criticize, because, you know, in fact, it was the Libertarian Party. It was Harry Brown that first introduced me to libertarianism. Okay. And, you know, we didn't have the internet then. And that was sort of my first opportunity to actually hear about it. So I sort of have this, you know, this sort of like still this warm place in my heart where I want the Libertarian Party to be out there, you know, in that world of where people are discussing ideas. I want them to be able to interject libertarianism as long as they're not sort of supporting the whole system in the process. So it's kind of a catch 22 there. But since we got the internet, I don't know if people really need the LP. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I'm actually a member of the Libertarian Party of Oregon. I'm part of the Judicial Committee. I'm actually an officer, I guess. I don't know if they call it an officer for it to be on the Judicial Committee, but I'm part of the party. And it's just terrible everywhere. Like, the Oregon Party is fractured, and it's weird, and they're trying to figure it out slowly, and it's looking to look positive now, but still, it's, you know, everywhere it seems like it's just kind of messed up. It's not really going anywhere. It's kind of disappointing, you know. But I don't know. I came through to libertarianism through the Libertarian Party members as well, with Bob Barr, and
ew.
But yeah, well, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I but ended hey, up having to. I ended up having. Yeah, I had to like cancel my membership after they nominated Barr for president. I was like, that's the final straw. I just told.
That's them, the worst about, mustache I've ever seen.
Yeah, just talk about liberty and shut up.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
We're talking about Goat Blood and Bob Barr. There is a strange connection there.
Do we know what kind of animals Bob Barr used to sacrifice when he was a candidate?
I don't know.
He was obviously more successful than this guy because he got the nomination, you know?
So, well, Augustus hasn't gotten it yet.
Right. Oh, who knows how far he'll go?
Well, apparently he went far enough to drink goat blood.
Yeah.
So
starve himself in the desert.
He's going far.
Right, but you know,
Mojave.
You know, yeah, but after Bob Barr, really anybody could be the Libertarian Party candidate, right? I mean, you know, that was the guy that it was just a couple years earlier the Libertarian Party had identified as the worst of the drug warriors, and had specifically targeted him for removal from Congress because he was such a jerk on the drug war. He was a CIA guy. He was a federal prosecutor. He voted to create the TSA. He voted for the Iraq War. Like, he voted for the Patriot Act. Okay, like, there's really no libertarian position that he didn't, like, actively oppose as a member of Congress. And then the Libertarian Party kicked him, got him removed. They helped with it with a brutal ad campaign against him. And then he's like, hey, can I be your candidate? And they're like, oh my gosh, he's a congressman. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, please. Oh, he's a congressman. He's going to give us some credibility.
When I think credibility, I think Bob Barr.
No, oh, man.
Something's wrong with that.
I just, you know, I just thanked God when I saw him on like Colbert Report or Daily Show, whatever it was, like, please don't talk about the issues. Please don't talk about, you know, because he didn't have any libertarian positions. Thankfully, he talked about his mustache almost 100% of the time, you know, so.
Yeah, like my first encounter with the guy, oh, I didn't run into him. I've never met him, but my first exposure to him, I guess that's the right word, was he was on an episode of Penn and Teller's Bad Word, and they were talking about the Patriot Act, and you know he was talking about what it was supposed to do and all this stuff, and then at the very end he was like, oh yeah, and it's terrible, it didn't work. And I'm like, yeah, of course you can say that now that you're not an elected congressman, right?
Yeah, maybe you should have thought about that before you voted for it, jerk.
You voted for it before you voted against it.
Right? What a God. Did you hear about his, he has a book that he hired Jim Bovard to ghostwrite. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, he has this.
He couldn't have wrote a book himself.
Yeah, no, he hires Jim Bovard, okay, to ghostwrite the book. Okay, the book comes out, you know, it's probably great because Jim Bovard wrote it.
I don't know who that is.
Jim Bovard, jimbovard.com, author of many great books, including the Attention Deficit Democracy, The Bush Betrayal, just a super guy, great writer, writes for Future Freedom Foundation. He's been published all over the place, from Playboy to the Wall Street Journal. He's been condemned by like 20 different government agencies. Anyway, so he hires Jim Bovard to write his book, and then he stiffs him. He stiffs him on it. Like, yeah, I know I agreed to give you $40,000, but sorry, sucker. I'm a congressman. I don't have to pay my debts. Like, it just completely screwed over Jim, as far as I know. So, anyway, that's the kind of guy he is. So this goat blood drinking guy, I'm saying, you know, LP's seen worse.
Yeah. yeah, I've had some experiences with personally with the with one of the I'm not going to name who because that'd be mean. His name was Michael Badnarik, and he ran for president, and we ended up becoming like good friends. And it turned out he was just like into the conspiracy theories, like beyond what most conspiracy theorists would run into. And we ended up having a little bit of a falling out because I called one of his guests on his radio show, as a Xena worshiper, and he wasn't too happy.
Xena? You said Xena? Like, I thought you said, I was thinking Xena warrior princess, which I could understand, okay? Like, I think we're all quite fond of Xena, but this is Xenu, okay?
Yeah, I think we all worship Xena in the 90s, in our own ways, especially when she had that little girlfriend. But this is Xenu, is the intergalactic overlord who condemned millions of aliens to Earth, killed them with hydrogen bombs after he chained them to volcanoes, and then took their souls and brainwashed them, and that's why we have space cooties all over our body, and we need to get Scientology to get rid of them.
Sounds legit.
And seems legit, and that seems to be more preferable than psychology. Or psychiatry.
Worms. You're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Too busy talking to you, talk radio. Freedom Fiends. Brought to you by GoatsBloodTake.com. Find your match today. Do they ever make a Yak's Blood one yet, Nick?
No.
It's in Mongolia, but yeah. If you can read Mongolian, it's you can find a Yak Blood date.
Yeah. I don't think they have internet there. They probably do it by Falcon or something.
Yeah. Is that where are Yaks native of?
Tibet.
But Tibet.
Yeah. Okay. Eastern All right. Mongolia.
All right. Cool. Now I've noticed, Nick, that you have. You have yak meat for sale. Is that correct? Is that, I know you sent me a private message, but is it generally available to the public, or how's that working out?
I still need to put a label on it. I'm licensed to sell meat, but I need to put a label on my meat before I can sell it because they want to have your contact information on it so people can sue you.
Fair enough.
If they want to, yeah.
After the salmonella outbreak. Like,
yeah.
Quick, Nick's phone number's on there. Give him a call. Yeah,
he'll take my calls. He'll take my calls.
Now,
got a yak burger. A little sick. I called him up. He took my call. He's killing us.
Now, I've heard that yak meat is just incredibly delicious. Can you tell us a little bit about what is yak meat like?
Yak meat is really great. If you like your meat rare, it's good. It's leaner than beef, so you don't want to cook it too much, but it remains juicy. And so it just all around tastes pretty great. It does have a slightly different taste, and you can tell that it's leaner. It's grass-fed. That's what mine is. Most yaks are grass-fed, so it's definitely a little bit tougher than cow that's fed on grain. But it tastes a lot like grass-fed beef, except it has a slightly different taste, especially in the burger. I think it's a little bit better. A lot of people do. Supposedly, there's been blindfold taste tests on yak burgers, and yak burgers outperform regular beef burgers. But the thing is, I don't really know about that. I have not checked that out, but I think it's pretty great.
Cool. And since it's a narco yak, that is probably just like the best yak you'll ever get, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it adds a different flavor too, a little bit more freedom.
What does freedom taste like?
Yeah,
goat's blood?
No, yak blood.
Oh.
Now, how does an anarcho yakitalist get a permit? This sounds like this must have been very. Just difficult process, something that you probably didn't want to go near, but were reluctantly had to cooperate.
Well, actually, the thing is it took 20 minutes to do, except that the guy didn't show up for three times in a row. He had to cancel because they're short staffed or something. Something was going on, and he had to be pulled away to some other thing where there was some emergency up north of from here.
Some emergency unlabeled yak farming was going on, and he was called away on an urgent mission.
Yeah, so it took him a while to show up, which was frustrating. I want to sell my meat as fast as I can. But he came, he looked at my refrigerator, saw that the meat was not, that the package wasn't ripped or whatever, and he's like, yeah, okay, cool, you're good. Just put a label on it. And I got it. I just signed a check over it, and it was $108. To get the license, and that's pretty much it.
So can you put a cool little label on it or something?
I could, yeah. I'm doing it really basic because I don't want to spend money, but
you need like an Arco Yak logo.
I do. I kind of have one that's really poorly done in Photoshop. I don't use it. It's just a yak with an orange Anarchy A above it.
Okay.
But
you should just use that anarcho Gadsden flag that I made for you.
Oh, yes. I love that. And everybody loves that, too. It's so great. Don't stop me from selling yak meat.
There's your label, government. Forget you. Do what I want.
But if it wasn't for the government, I would have had that yak meat probably half gone by now. It's frustrating, but... Yeah, that's the way it works, government.
Have you thought about like bringing a freezer load to Porkfest next year and like setting up like a Yak Burger stand?
Yes, I actually have thought about that. I've been considering how to get a yak there, and it's something that I would love to do. Probably, I would really like to do it.
Like you could just like if you walk him there, you better leave now. Like it's going to take a while, but
I'll do it on Yak Back.
Yeah, yeah, I think Yak Burgers. Yeah, like Anarcho Yak Burgers would be a really big hit. I think
for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I would go to Porkfest just to eat a Yak Burger.
That's what I'm saying. Like this could be like it could be huge.
Yeah, and I want that label on the burger wrap. Of the Gadsden.
So they didn't really actually like, so they just kind of looked at your freezer and you're like, eh, it's good enough. They didn't really like test for salmonella or check the temperature or you like see if you had like you know, migrant workers chained in the basement like chopping meat. Like what are they really inspecting when they, you know, we had this whole like we're going to protect the people with the USDA. Well, what are they? Is that all they do? They just show up and be like, whatever.
Well, nah, yeah, that's what it appeared to be. He did check the temperature of the freezer. I have a thermometer in there, and I think you're supposed to. But, yeah, it didn't seem like there was much. It was only that you wanted to have it labeled in a certain way and that the package was not torn. Right? Okay. It wanted to be completely sealed.
All right. Well, okay. You know, I guess I'm not saying that I want him to do more than that. I just, you know, just curious about the process.
Sure.
But I'm sure if they didn't have that, the status would freak out like, oh my goodness, like people are going to die from salmonella because they're not packaging it right and they don't have government inspectors inspecting it in every single way, but they're not doing it now.
Well, so the lucky thing about yaks is that they're USDA exempt. The Department of Agriculture has to inspect every single process that goes to processing of the animal, usual animals like beef and cattle or beef and swine and I think chickens, but there are a lot of USDA exempt animals like yak and buffalo and emus and ducks.
Cat.
Yes. I don't know if you can get a cat slaughtered at a facility. But so I don't have to take my yak to a USDA inspected place. All I have to do is have an ODA or an Oregon Department of Agriculture inspected place, which is a lot less intensive because the USDA inspection requires there to be a USDA inspector on the floor at all times, which is absolutely ridiculous. So many animals are slaughtered and there has to be that person there for the whole thing, and so they make money just by standing there is what I get from that,
right?
But well, yaks are awesome because they're exempt, so there wasn't a lot of stuff that had to go into processing the animal.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about trying some yak meat, even though I'm mostly a vegetarian. I don't eat those kind of animals, but I am intrigued, and fact that I know you and that you've done a good job with it, you know, makes me want to try it. So
yeah, I appreciate that. A lot of people want me to mail it. A lot of people.
What about the blood? Have you consumed all the blood so far, or is there any left, or
I have not actually consumed blood. I would like to make that clear. I do not know where the blood went for these animals.
Okay.
I did keep the bones. Some of the bones, and I'm gonna get the skull from it. That's other than meat. I've got bones and the skull. I should have gotten the hide, but
yeah.
Unfortunately, I think some of it was wasted.
Oh, well, next time.
I'm sure there's going to be some very happy dogs that are going to get a hold of those bones.
Oh yeah!
Wow, like a yak rib. Can you just see a dog like playing with a yak rib? Mm-hmm. Here, buddy. It reminds me, like, where was that that farmer was like planting beets and he's like, it's a mammoth skeleton. Did you hear that one?
No.
Yeah, the guy like dug up a mammoth skeleton in his beet farm, I think. Now, I'm not really sure how this worked because this thing was like 10 feet under and I don't think anybody's digging 10 feet down planting beets or potatoes or whatever it was. But yeah, some guy's like, some farmer's like, what's that? He's digging. It's like, it seems kind of like wood. No, wait a minute, that's bones. He goes, what do we have, some kind of dinosaur here? And he called like some academic types, and they came over and they excavated out a woolly mammoth, like right out of his farm. Like, cool.
Wow.
And it had been butchered. It had been butchered and consumed by humans like 10,000 years ago. Oh,
cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I've heard stories of them finding up in like Canada and Alaska, finding them frozen in the ice. And then they take them, and people will eat the frozen mammoth because it's perfectly fine. Instead of turning it over to a museum, yeah, they just eat it.
Really? I've heard that it's like can be like still like not completely decayed, but wow. I can't really say that's something on my list of freaky foods to eat, but
That's true, but that's what I've heard.
It's possible. How about I've heard of people eating putrid shark in Iceland. Have you ever had that? Iceland, I think, is kind of a barren place. And I think a long time ago, they're like, hey, we're out of food. And they're like, oh, no, what are we going to do? It's like, well, what about that shark you had? Oh, I left it in the barn last year. Well, okay, that's what we're eating, guys. And they ate it, and they're like, well, we didn't die. And it's entered their sort of their culture as a delicacy. But they basically they take a shark and they hang it up in a barn far away from town because nobody wants to be anywhere near it. Okay. And they just let it hang there until it becomes putrid. And then they're like, okay, give me a slice that up and put it on a cracker.
Yeah, I saw a video of them like trying it. It was on a show, and they just try weird, freaky foods. And they were like, "We're not eating this in the office. We don't want because it stinks so bad." I guess they had a problem last time they did something like that, and they ate Sir Strumming, which is that makes this look like you know, like a pizza. It's that disgusting. But the Sir Strumming thing that's really bothersome. It's rotten fish. And they leave it in barrels to rot, and then you eat it rotten, and the can bulges from it being rotten.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Wolf, wolf. Freedom fiends. Goat's blood and more.
So much more. Relaxing your statism away. Now. Yeah, now with more goat's blood. I was just enjoying another warm cup. There's nothing like just curling up in a fall, beautiful fall night. The smell of leaves are in the air, and the cool breeze blows, and just you curl up by the fire with a warm cup of goat's blood.
I think Jeffrey Tucker was talking about how he puts a little bit of bourbon in that, and the statists are taking that away from us. Terrible.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what I don't do? I don't do the pumpkin spice goat's blood. Like,
no.
I'm not going there. That's
disgusting.
My girlfriend
loves it. Girlfriend loves this stuff. Yeah. Anyways. So weren't we talking about yaks or something? What's going on?
Yeah, well, Nick is the premier anarchist yak farmer. And
perhaps the only.
I believe I am the only.
I don't know. Those Mongolians could, you know, there's probably a big anarchist movement in Mongolia.
Maybe. Maybe in Tibet, too. the Tibetans don't like China, right? So
that's, yeah, that's I heard that there's possible. A lot of, I heard there's a lot of like left anarchists who kind of like live in that area and kind of do their own thing outside of China, but
okay.
But do they actually farm yaks or do they just catch them wild?
Ooh, I don't. I
they're
don't
probably
know.
Corralling them. I'm just guessing. Oh,
they can't own them, right?
I actually know a little bit about this. I don't believe they do that anymore. That was a Mongolian thing, where they what do you call it? They socialized the yak industry, and it ended up being disastrous. So they reversed the policy.
Hmm. Yeah,
that was a serious problem for the yak ranchers of Mongolia.
So you're saying that anarcho-yakitalism has to be pro-capitalism and pro-private property,
yeah,
right? It can't it can't be the other way around.
None of that's BS.
Actually,
yeah.
Hmm. That's interdasting. So, yeah. So you're going to go to Porkfest and sell yak burgers.
We will see about that. But, yeah, I'd really like to do that. I'm sure I could make a killing off it. I'd up the prices about another $10, and people would totally buy it.
Just well, where else are you going to go? Yeah, where else are you going to go?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Here's the hard part is mm-hmm. getting like a freezer on site. Mm. Like, it's going to be a challenge. But
that is a challenge.
It's doable.
Yes.
You could probably talk to Lou Fien. He knows all about Assault Kitchenry, and yeah, he knows all about that stuff.
I wonder if I'd have to get licensed. Well, it's going to be Porkfest. I don't need
license. No.
No.
I'm offended you even asked.
Yeah. I mean, people might boycott you because you have USDA approval. Okay, but...
I don't, though. I only have ODA approval.
Oh, okay.
I have a lower level of tyranny approval.
Yeah, but we just won't even mention it.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw a really interesting article today. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was called How to Weaponize Your Cat to Hack Neighbor's Wi-Fi Passwords.
What? Ooh, I'm yeah. there, dude.
Yeah.
Come here.
Well, have you guys heard of war driving? Do you know what that is in terms of like hackers speak?
It's correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I used to do this where you used to drive around an area, a residential area, looking for open Wi-Fi access to do your bad things on the internets without having it being traced back to you. Is that right?
Exactly. Right. Or find open or
I've never done
hacked.
This.
Right.
I've never done this.
So anyway, so this guy has decided like he could do better. He's like, you know what? My cat's out in the neighborhood. Let's see if we can set him up with some Wi-Fi sniffing. So if we come back from the break, we'll have to get into that.
Is this a break or are we being shut down?
I didn't do anything. I didn't.
We'll be back for another hour of Freedom Fiends.
Just shut up and talk about hacking.
And cats. Yes.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow. This is the Freedom Fiends. broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza. It's a great piece of real estate. You can see all the way to World Trade Center. Fabulous piece of real estate. I just sold it to someone. He came from China. I'm not a fan of China. They do some great things. But they did buy my apartment. But I mean, they're killing us. We need to send them to LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Then we could fix all this. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a big government license. This allows reuse by nobody except big governments. You can learn more at bipcot.org or something. I'm here with Nick Hazelton, great kid, fantastic worker. He's going to be strong. Unfortunately, he's going to lose his job to some Mexican. I can't make any promises. He's a great kid. My doorman loves him. Fantastic. And then Jim Babb, he's a great guy. Fantastic. He makes 3D printers. He's killing us. He's killing us in our jobs. Terrible. Yes.
I love being with you guys. I love it. And there's Jim Jesus out there somewhere. I don't know.
What happened? Someone needs to fix this fiend phone.
Keeps getting hijacked. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a left-wing guy come and steal my feed, and now a right-wing guy come and steal my feed. I don't know what's going on. Help.
I hear you. So, right before the break, I started to talk about this really interesting thing about weaponizing your cat to hack neighbors' Wi-Fi passwords. And I just thought this is a great idea. We were talking about war driving, which is where you drive around and you look for Wi-Fis that could be either open or easily hacked.
I've never done this.
Yeah, we're not suggesting that you do it, but...
never done this.
So this guy named Gene Bransfield decided, you know what? He took his wife's grandmother's pet cat, Coco, and he attached a Wi-Fi, like a detector, and he put a little circuitry together. And basically, the cat wanders the neighborhood and comes back with data on vulnerable Wi-Fis. And they call it the War Kitty, okay?
As opposed to NR Kitty, right?
So this guy Bransfield, he explained his experiment War Kitty at DEF CON, the hacker conference, and he did a title called How to Weaponize Your Pets. So why not? Yeah. Anyway, so in a 3-hour trip through the neighborhood, his pet cat Coco mapped 23 unique Wi-Fi networks, including 4 routers that used an old, easily broken encryption, and 4 routers that were left unprotected entirely. So, there you go.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. For years, we've been hiring hackers to take care of problems with their competitors, and now the jobs are being taken by cats. This is terrible. Anarchist war cats, terrible. I can't approve of this. When I become president, we're sending them back to Mexico, sending them back to China. They're killing us.
Yeah. Donald, what do you think? What do you think about Ed Snowden? I heard Ed Snowden volunteered to come back to the country and do jail time if he could get some kind of plea deal, but the State Department hasn't called him back.
Well, you know, I don't like making fun of people, and looking at him, there's a lot to make fun of. But I think, honestly, he's a great guy. Frankly, he's a traitor. We just need to, you know what we do with people, the traitor. We need to go back to those days, get out the guillotines, get out the rope. Just take care of him. You know, he's killing us. He's killing us. He's killing jobs. NSA members have to be screened 4 times. It's cheaper to hire Mexicans. It's terrible. We need to outsource this and then get Americans somehow into the jobs and then tell Ford no.
All right. What do you think, Nick? What's your view on Ed Snowden? Do you think he should come back and do jail time?
I don't know. I mean... if he wants to do it, sure, but I don't think I would, but I'm not in a situation, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, Russia must be terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I could stay in Russia and be free, or I could go to jail in the U.S. And, like, doesn't he know what U.S. jails are like? They're horrible. You don't want to go, Ed. And I know Ed's a big fan of the show. So, Ed, I'm seriously, don't do it.
Don't take the plea deal.
Never take the plea, Ed. Never. It's a setup.
I mastered the deal. I wrote a book. It's called The Art of the Plea Deal. It's a fantastic book. You take a plea, follow my advice, 2 years, maximum security. You know, there may be some bad things going on in the showers. Don't drop the soaps. You'll be fine. It's great. Fantastic.
Oh. Too real.
It's like, how do you follow that?
Just too real. It's like,
don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I hope that it maybe it'll get him more attention, I guess, if he comes back to have a hearing or something, which would be, I think that would be good, but I don't know.
He wouldn't get a hearing. He'd get some kind of like terrible tribunal, like Bradley Manning treatment.
That's probably true.
Well, I don't know. They consider him a private citizen, I guess, but still, they would just make it would just be a giant show trial like Ross Ulbricht or something.
Yeah.
You know, kangaroo court. Yeah. I guess he's just stuck in Russia with subpar pickles and vodka.
How bad could it really be? Seriously. Like, he thinks it's going to be better in prison? I don't get it. Like,
prison or Russia? That's tough. Well, I guess the Iron Curtain's gone, so it's not too bad.
Well, is it still? I mean, is it still sort of a communist hell over there, or is it?
No,
I don't know.
But you have to remember that Putin's opposition party is the Communist Party. So, I mean, you're kind of very few options there. It's like, you know, all right, we'll take the dictator over another dictator.
Yeah, it's like Stalin or Hitler. I don't know. You know, like, vote. Speaking of communist hell, did you hear the latest from the Venezuelan government? The governor of Venezuela suggested that Venezuelans should eat fried rocks because of the shortages. I'm not making this up. Did you hear that? Yeah, he said, you know, because you know, the reason they're all starving, he's like, oh, you know, you can't find eggs at your grocery store. Why not try fried rocks instead? Like, I'm not making this up. He said during a radio show that Venezuelan people should not, quote unquote, yield to temptation or worry about not being able to find a pack of flour or sardines to buy amid the shortages. Let them take away whatever they want. We are capable of eating a stick, or instead of frying two eggs, fry two rocks, and we will eat fried rocks, he said, and no one can beat us.
I still say we need to buy that ship and take it on down with all that beer. It'll be
Yeah,
I'm still down with this idea.
Right. This is now like a year after they ran out of beer. Okay. Now they've run. Yeah. They're getting so desperate. They're like, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. Have we done the fried rock thing? No, go with that. Okay. Can you see? Do you think they do politics like they do here, where they put together like a focus group, you know, and they're like see how it's going to sell, you know? You know, what other ideas were on the table when they settled on sticks and rocks?
It was dirt and grass, and that one got really, really bad results. The focus group did not like that at all.
Yeah, maybe they could have like blamed it on aliens, or I don't know. So
I'm telling you, man. We get the ship, we go down there, we sell yak meat and beer. You can't lose.
It's
brilliant. And we have really low overhead since we know a supplier.
we'll get this. And of course, it'll all be Bitcoin. There in the month of August, they had 18.79% inflation for just the month of August.
Ooh.
Okay, the annual cost of living increase is increasing at 633%. Okay, these guys are in trouble, man. Like, wow, talk about feel the burn. You want to feel the burn? 633% inflation. That's the burn. Eating sticks and rocks. That's feeling the burn.
You know, well, I mean, eating dirt and grass works so well for the Vietnamese, not the Vietnamese, the North Koreans.
Right? Man.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that people still promote this idea as like, you know, this time it's going to work, really. You know, like, do you remember the, wasn't in China during like the Great Leap Forward where villages would, I'm not making this up, and I don't even want to joke about it. The villages would trade kids with other villages so they could eat each other's children, so they're not eating their own kids. They were so desperate.
Whoa.
Like, that's what socialism brings. It's not always those delicious sticks and rocks. eventually they say, well, we have to eat the kids to live. I mean, oh. Man. And people are like, yeah, Bernie, go Bernie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, I like the very last sentence of this article, which is brilliant. This was on Vice that you got this from, right? Munchies. Munchies.vice.com.
I'm reading a different article, but I guess it's made the rounds.
Okay. So the last line of the Vice version was, maybe it's time to ditch the tired old Che shirt in favor of one with a picture of some patriotically delectable fried rocks. I could just imagine Colonel Sanders coming out here.
Man,
18 well, different know, herbs and spices.
Well, you know, Philadelphia is going to be the host of the Democratic National Convention next year. And maybe I'll set up like a vending booth, you know, for like Bernie supporters. So like, you know, get your fried rocks and sticks, you know, like, there you go. Make Feel the going. Burn. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I can go to the Donald Trump thing and sell Chinese and Mexican food, or Chinese fusion Mexican food. I don't think that would go over very well.
Sounds delicious, though. Like, yeah, Chinese Mexican food.
Yeah, just put a little bit of rocks in there; they'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Some sticks, some good wholesome sticks. It's high in fiber. It's crucial minerals.
Reds and browns are gross.
Yeah. Gonna go get a fresh cup of goat blood on this break. Wash down my rocks and sticks.
Gravel.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Enjoying some nice warm goat's blood. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb. I'm here with Jim Jesus, Nick Hazelton. And, yeah, we were just talking about some of those commie bastards. Like, you know, like Bernie Sanders. And, you know, we should mention that, you know, we don't want to leave out Barack Obama. You know, he's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yeah.
But Bernie's really giving him a run for his money, I think, in all of those categories. Our friend Steve Miller, the newest fiend, has had a great quote that I just like to read. He says, Bernie Sanders is like a bald, clean-shaven Santa Claus, except he takes things from under your tree if he thinks you have too many. And like Santa, people who read on a second grade level get really mad when you say you don't believe in him. Steve has been on such a roll. Yeah, he also posted a great meme. Libertarianism is the common sense notion that government is a goat that needs to be led into the woods and ritually slaughtered before we drink a half gallon of its warm blood. Hashtag hail to the sun god.
Now, I've been a big fan. I'm a big fan of libertarians. He's got a lot of great ideas. Big fan of goat's blood. Fantastic. Brilliant stuff. For me, the pagan thing, too far. Walking to the desert, too far. But the goat's blood, it's fantastic. My doorman, great kid. Hired him straight out of Mexico. Great kid. I should fire him, but, you know, he's a great kid. He loves the goat blood. Loves the stuff.
Mm. Pasteurized? How do you preserve goat's blood anyway? I guess you have to kind of just drink it fresh from the vein, right? I don't know how that works.
They make soup out of pigs. Pork mm-hmm. blood soup? Mm. I don't know how they preserve it.
I don't know.
Because
it
would have to pasteurize
solidifies,
it.
Solidifies,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Coagulates,
yeah.
Mm. Do you like? Do you, now? Yeah, I guess that raises the question: do you prefer chunky style or smooth and creamy goat's blood?
I don't know. I prefer Vegemite.
Oh man! So what else has been going on, Nick? What's going on out in Oregon, Nick?
Yeah, what's going on in Oregon right now? I don't think there's anything newsworthy going on.
Yeah, there's nothing going on out there, is there?
No.
Hey, I heard weed is legal out there now. What's up?
Yeah, it is. I think actually this month they opened up for recreational selling. I think that the dispensaries can sell recreational marijuana now. It's been a lengthy process with the regulatory systems. So I don't know. Honestly, I don't see that many people lighting up on the street. There's been like one time where I smelled pot, somebody smoking in town. That was the 4th of July. But I definitely smell it more often when I'm driving down the road. You know, you can just smell it from people's yards.
Wow. So they were all like, it's finally legal. We can smoke in our yard. Like they weren't smoking it before, you think?
No, they're growing now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there are more people growing.
Let me tell you something. You think this is all good and fun and games and everything, right? When Nevada legalized medical marijuana, I just keep seeing people overdosing in the streets after injecting just single marijuana. Just everywhere you go, just dead bodies piling up everywhere. So you think this is funny now, but just wait. Just you wait. Just you wait, Oregon. Just you wait.
Yeah.
Just that's all it takes, just injecting one marijuana's. That's it.
Now, Donald, if you become president, what are you going to do about all these states that are legalizing weed? Is there going to be a big crackdown?
Frankly, I think the best course of action would be to round these states up and send them back to Mexico where they belong. Because let's face it, the drug cartels, they're killing us. We have plenty of people here who want to make alcohol. They make great stuff. I drink it all the time. They make my vodka, great vodka. It's made in Mexico. I'm trying to change that. You know, I love Mexico, but you know, they're killing us. We need to bring back the Mexican states that are making my vodka and deport the other states. We could do it and then build a wall and keep Mr. Garrison out and we'll be fine. There'll be no terrible things happening to me. Yeah.
What are they? Are they going to put a wall? What's up with that wall? Is it just going to be around by Mexico, or is it Canada? And what about the beaches? Are they going
to? We're going to put a giant wall. It's going to be like I can build huge skyscrapers. We'll build skyscraper walls, but guard towers shooting anybody who tries to cross. People say it's like East Germany. It's not. It's nothing like that. It's going to be even better. I'm telling you. It's gonna have more and more snipers. Worms. I think that's what you say.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
segment. This is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I'm here with Jim Jesus and James Babb. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Mediocre.
So we were talking about Oregon and and how we legalized marijuana. I didn't have anything to do with it. But we also had some pretty terrible news recently. There was a shooting at the Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, which is, I don't know how far away it is from me. I can't remember where Roseburg's at. I think it's like a couple hours away from here. But it was disappointing. It's always kind of sad when you hear those stories.
Yeah.
And I don't pay attention to the news, so I don't really know exactly what happened. I don't even know how many people died, but it's always too many. The thing I'm most disappointed about, though, is that this is used as a tool for legislation. People are using it as an excuse to push whatever agenda they want. You know, from the left, it's anti-guns. And from the right, it's pro-guns. And I am a firm believer in the right to own property, and I don't think we should prohibit any sort of inanimate object. So I'm in favor of gun rights, but I think it's just terrible how this is used as a tool for propaganda.
Yeah, for both sides of that argument. Yeah. It's like, this really doesn't even, it's barely even relevant to either side's argument, but it's still considered like the crown jewel. See, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, because it is a statistical anomaly, right? It doesn't happen a whole lot. The media likes to blow it up, and these school shootings and shootings in general, to make them seem like they're a bigger deal than they are, but they're really not.
But it's like a plane crash, though, right? It's like it's still much safer to drive a car, and way more people die in cars. But when a plane crashes, it's huge news. You know, I think that's just sort of just normal, but. So I kind of understand why it makes the news when something this tragic happens, because it's so horrific.
That's because our cars are being made in Mexico and Japan. When was the last time you saw an American car in Japan? They're killing us. With their cars, they're killing us.
My roads.
My roads.
So, I actually was with a guy. We're like drinking some beers. A friend of a friend of mine. It's like his buddy from work. And he's like, oh yeah, you libertarians. He just like, I'm gonna nail you guys. And he's like, Rhodes, and like, like, oh my god, like I thought this was like, you know, he was just making a joke about it, because it's like, you know, it's like the most like cliche excuse, you know, against libertarianism. Like, you know, you must hate Rhodes. I swear to God, this guy really couldn't imagine how you could leave your house without government, like there to pave some kind of ground in front of you. So it's a real, it's real.
Yeah, there's a video on YouTube. It's an instructional video on how to troll libertarians. And it's like 5 seconds long, and the only thing it says is, well, what about the roads? That's it. It's the entire video. And you know what? I have to say, it works every time, doesn't it? We just get so mad. It's like, come on, man. That's it. Like, we've been answering this question for 40 years, at least. And that's the best you got, Rhodes?
Really?
Come on. Like, what about courts? Like, come on. That's complex. Well, Rhodes? Yeah. Come on.
Seriously. No, it's Rhodes, right? Courts, yeah. I don't even understand. But Rhodes, they can see. It's like, it's like materials they're familiar with, and they're like, look, you know, yeah, I know governments have killed 250 million people in the past century, but hey, we need roads. So yeah,
my asphalt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But back to this Oregon shooting, there was actually a bit of interesting news regarding this. I mean, outside of, you know, people being injured, which is terrible. But there's a famous music reviewer on YouTube by the name Anthony Fantano. He goes by the Needle Drop. It's a great channel, by the way. But he looks very similar to the person who ended up shooting these people at this college. And a lot of foreign media outlets have been picking up the story and then using Anthony Fantano's picture as the gunman without even checking to see if that's, you know, really the right guy or anything like that. They've had to issue some retractions, and the retractions they've been offering is just like a little thing on their website, like, oops, wrong picture, whatever. Oh. And, you know,
it's fact checking. Yeah. Come on, get real. You know, this is a 24-hour news cycle. There's no time for fact-checking. Run it!
Yeah, exactly. And it just kind of shows you how lazy the media is getting, at least overseas. We're still waiting for the American one. I think there was like the Blaze or something like that picked up the article and then immediately took it down after they noticed it. But, I mean, come on, Italy. Come on. Come on. And Mexico was one of them.
But you know,
my body's being invaded by a channeler. Go ahead, sorry.
You know what? Something I've gotten used to doing, just because I see so much garbage coming through my Facebook feed. Like, this is a picture. Is this a picture of Syrian immigrants? No, it's World War I, people from escaping Europe. You know, and like, just Google image search, and like, nope, those are people from Albania in 1996. You know, like, Google image search is your tool. If you see like a, you know, this cop visits these children every day and gives them candy and says and reads them bedtime stories. You know, because it's just a cop with a picture next to a kid, and they'll like. They'll put all these narratives just get added to photos like willy-nilly. And then you're like, you just Google image search it and you're like, oh, that of course that's not has nothing to do with it. But yeah, if these news channels were we could at least master Google image search, they could figure out that radio host is not the mass shooter, as far as we know. Right,
I don't know. He did give the death grips only 8 out of 10 this time. That's just totally unfair. Maybe he is some sort of evil mastermind, but maybe just not particularly this particular thing. Right? Okay.
Who knows?
I mean, Tame Impala 6 is that? That's it. It's just a 6. Come on, I'm offended.
Well, hey, wasn't it?
There ought to be a law.
Hey, wasn't it a Nevada lawmaker? I just saw the headline says we should look into whatever these pharmaceuticals these mass shooters are using. It's like somebody just thought of that. Like, yeah, like maybe you ought to look at that. Maybe you should. Maybe somebody should. Turns out every single mass shooter, at least according to a meme I saw, is on prescription drugs.
I saw it on a meme. It has to be true. I was at the CCHR. They said that.
CCHR?
That's an inside baseball. We're not getting into that.
Okay. Too inside for me. So
yeah. Right. Don't Google it. It's terrible. Anyway,
did you see 4chan? Do you guys spend a lot of time on the 4chan?
No
message.
No one. No. No. Okay. No.
Well, no. This is first, now considered...
The first rule of B is you don't talk about B. The second rule... Sorry, what?
4chan is now considered a source of intelligence for our police, for our men in blue. And recently, Philadelphia, somebody posted on 4chan, they're like, and... some kind of tirade about there's gonna be blood in the streets at some college near Philadelphia, and the whole region went on like freak out lockdown mode, and like every like canceling classes and freaking out and all this stuff like. Like, oh, what are we gonna do? Somebody posted something on 4chan about they sound kind of crazy. Lock it down.
You shut it down.
That's all it takes now to completely troll. I think, like, that's the saddest thing. Like, if you want to completely troll the police and all these paranoid people out there, just post something stupid on 4chan and then like make it an anonymous tip, and you could like send your whole city into lockdown.
They probably don't even need a tip. They're probably watching it. I remember there was a news story a while back about how one of the people on 4chan. Which I never visit ever. There was a person on 4chan who was talking. They were having like a little contest to see who could come up with the craziest, you know, bomb threat scenario. And there was a guy who said he was going to blow up all the stadiums in America. And they ended up arresting this guy. And he was like, dude, it's a joke. That's what we do on 4chan. Make jokes. That's the whole point of 4chan. Like, what are you doing?
It could Stop. Be Bane. Isn't that what Bane did?
That's not 4chan. That's 8chan. I don't know anything about this. I don't know. I don't know about the Bane post sub 8chan. I know nothing about that. It seems like a big site.
Or the slash S or whatever else they, right? You never heard of any of these things.
Yeah. Oh, 4chan. What are you doing?
stat. Yeah.
Nick, and Nick, don't go to there. It's adult content. So, yeah. Shield your eyes, Nick. You're not ready for that.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so hey, you know what? Maybe if every Freedom Fiend listener went to 4chan right now and just posted some crazy. I'm not saying people should make bomb threats. I'm not saying that. But if you did, it would be hilarious. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Please don't.
No.
Actually, just please don't. No. Sarcasm aside, don't do it.
No, absolutely not.
That's a terrible idea.
Unless it was like during the like Democratic National Convention or...
No. Please don't have 4chan come after us, please.
No.
Leave 4chan alone.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I'd hate for the integrity of the 4chan posts to be called into question.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the poll boards. They're big fans of Trump. Big fans of Trump. I'm not joking. You think I'm joking? I'm not. Interesting website, 4chan. Never been
there.
Yeah. Oh, there's a paranormal. It's the /X for paranormal.
You're swimming in it right now, aren't you?
Well, I'm just wondering. Maybe I could find a date on here.
Yeah.
This new paranormal forum. I don't know. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let me just see if there a section on pagan rituals, libertarians.
Goat blood.
Yeah, I don't know.
Soon they're gonna have to merge politically incorrect once they get a hold of this blood thing, and they decide to stop being fascist over there and re-embrace libertarianism again, and then they can get into the goat blood thing or the act blood thing, you know, because it's not regulated. But frankly, I like Poll. They're a great site. They support me. Fantastic people over there. I support. Thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you, I don't know where I'd be. Fantastic, 4chan.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Too busy talking to new talk radio. Freedom Fiends. Sponsored by...
GoatBloodDates.com. I can't even say it. It's too funny. GoatBloodDates.com.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, you can connect with people over over paganism, ritual sacrifice, and so much more. So this is our final segment, and you know, we like to wrap up with some positive good news. And as I was mentioning to you the break, I saw some a really interesting development from the free market, which can really solve any problem. I know. There's a National Association for the Preservation of Skin Art, or NAMBLA. They've developed a proprietary method of preserving skin art as mementos for families of their deceased tattooed loved ones. So you're like, you know, you lost grandma, but man, you really want to keep her tattoo around. You can have it framed and like hung on your mantle. Like, I don't know. Is that creepy or awesome or both?
It depends on the tattoo.
Yeah. I don't know. What kind of tattoo? Like, I'm just picturing those like stupid sailor tattoos that, you know, say like mom. You know,
just has an anchor. Yeah. It's just the anchor. The anchor. Oh, so that's what happened to Popeye.
It's terrible. It's terrible, but, you know. Hey, why not? It's, you know, because I guess in the olden days, you had to actually, you had to, like, actually preserve the whole body to keep the tattooed art there, right? Like, you know, they kept Lenin in, like, a glass case or something. You'd have to keep, like, the whole tattooed person preserved. Now you can just get the skin you want to save and stretch it onto a frame and, you know, makes a good gift item. Like,
in LibPair, I'm telling you, in LibPair, it's going to be totally legal for taxidermy to be used on humans. And why not?
It's not now?
No, it's not. That's illegal.
Why not?
For reasons.
Yeah. Right?
I want my body taxidermied. I want to be stuffed.
I want to be composted. You know, I'm like a, you know, like a, you know, back to nature kind of guy. Like, you know,
whatever. Yeah, see, I took a step further than all of you. I actually put, seriously, this is in my will. I actually did my will because once I found out this exists, but I'm going to be cremated and then my ashes are going to be pressed into a vinyl record, multiple vinyl records, and my friends will have copies of me on vinyl.
Hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
Those yeah, but you know what? Nobody has a working turntable anymore. And
oh, I do.
Yeah, but your friends won't.
Touché.
I have a couple friends who do.
Yeah.
Speaking of triumphs of the free market, I've seen advertised these like laser vinyl players that just like don't even touch the vinyl; just a laser reads the grooves.
Yeah, they're big in China. Or not China. They're big in China. No, they're I guess they're a big thing in Japan right now. Like that's what everyone's going to. But they're so expensive. Trust me, I looked into buying one. They were costing like $20,000 or something like that. Last time I saw.
Can DJs use them to scratch with? That would be pretty cool. Mm.
No, they just look like laser disc players. That's essentially what they are. Remember those laser discs? Oh, those were great.
Wow.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah. So what else do we have uplifting for this final segment? Here's a good one. Did you see this story? Now, this, you know, I think this just celebrates the best of humanity, okay? And this really just captures it. This is a report, okay? Now, I don't know if it's true. It was reported by CBS Detroit. Man uses raccoon to start breathalyzer-equipped car. Okay? That's the interesting story. And then raccoon then attacks driver. Okay?
Florida man strikes again, right? Where have you been?
So, anyway, I think this was in California, though. I guess he must have been on vacation in California, yeah. Florida man. But, so we, you know, I mean, first of all, that's brilliant. You're like, the guy's so drunk, he couldn't start his car, but there's a raccoon. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some kind of, like, indigenous monkey in Venezuela that we can trade for beer and yak meat, because, you know, they need those. And we could trade for those and then train them on the way back and then sell them to alcoholics who need their car's breathalyzer blown into. And we could make billions. Each way.
This is Lib Pear. Yeah.
This is libertarian paradise in action.
Wow. The possibilities are just, I mean, we are only limited by our creativity and the amount of goat blood we can drink.
And the socialist states we can leech off of.